Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about a topic that Jason came up with, which is, should you swing like your favorite player? Jason, your question, your answer.
Yeah, I actually get this a lot from students where they're like, I really like, you know, let's go John Rahm swing. Like, should I swing like John Rahm? Or, you know, should I swing like Adam Scott? Obviously, everyone would love to swing like Adam Scott. And I have no problem with a pretty neutral swing for most golfers. However, I usually say the same thing, which is I want you to find out the elements that you need in your swing for you to balance, because you don't move like John Rahm. You don't move like Adam Scott. You don't move like Bryson, but you might need a couple elements from their swing. And that would be what I would say you need to work on. So for me, don't get me wrong, I would absolutely love to just go like onto one of those, you know, swing robot things and be like, all right, make me move like Adam Scott. But it doesn't work like that. What about you guys?
Yeah, it does not work like that. Here's the I'm going to be maybe a jerk for a little bit. Golfers that say, should I swing like this person? Give you 15 years and maybe you could kind of swing like whoever you're naming. But how about you just take the next step? How about you just make your swing a little bit better? There's no real way to say, should I swing like this person, unless you want to spend a decade basically trying to model your swing after that, because they probably do, if you get down to the fine nitty gritty details of it, they probably do 50 things differently than what you do, right? The rates at which they do them, the amounts at which they do them, they may be capable of doing some things that you literally can't do. And I'm not just talking about John. You're probably not going to swing as fast as John Rahm. Probably. Okay. Some people out there can. But if you're a 42-year-old dude, you're probably not going to swing as fast as John Rahm is capable of doing, let alone all the other 50 things that he does a little bit differently than you do. It's not worth the time to try to swing like player X unless you're already really, 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 really close to swing like player X.
For sure. And I think one of the things that golfers take for granted, and I think it's more than other sports, I think golfers take for granted that these guys that we're watching on TV, such elite movers in how they move. I think one of the reasons that we take that for granted is most of these guys look like normal guys. They don't look like an NBA player or an NFL tight end. They don't look like an elite, you know, superstar athlete. But when you measure what they're doing in 3D or on force plates, they are doing things that most normal human beings just can't do from a movement perspective. And so if we try to do that, we're going to fail miserably and we're probably going to hit the golf ball worse than we've ever hit it, even though we're thinking we're doing the right thing. So I definitely don't think it's probably the smartest idea for us to, you know, let's just take Cam Young right now, who's been on a heater. I don't think most people should try to swing the golf club like Cam Young, right? But Cam Young has figured out how to make it work for him. And he's also just an elite athlete. I think we can go down the wrong road and hinder our progress by trying to model ourselves after one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Let me push back on that a little bit.
Sure.
If you're talking about an outlier, I agree.
For sure.
And John Rahm and Cam Young would be slightly outlier categories for certain things that they do in their golf swing.
Absolutely.
But we've said on the podcast,
yep,
Mike and Sean at AMG have said the same thing. And a lot of people that measure golf swings would tend to agree that the golf swings of tour players are simpler and easier moves to make. They make them faster and they do it more efficiently and consistently and obviously thus better than most amateurs do.
Yep.
But their golf swings on the whole are simpler and easier.
Yep.
Most of them.
Yep.
So most of the moves that tour players are making, the vast majority of them, are moves that an average player can make.
I agree with that.
Now, they don't have the same flexibility. They don't have the same strength. They don't have the same speed necessarily, all of the amateur players out there doing that stuff. But everyone can hinge their wrists a certain amount.
Absolutely.
Everyone can move their arms less across their body than they probably do right now, which is what would get them closer to a tour player. Everyone can turn their hips less than they do now, which is probably also a commonality. Things like that. So
yep,
that's the other answer to this question is no, you shouldn't try to act like a tour player. But at the same time, you should almost try to be a little bit more like the majority of tour players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is when we get to talk about windows and ranges and stuff. Jason?
Yeah, I'm you bang on. And like the funny thing is, I see a lot of golfers now where they're like, oh, I really hate my swing. And I'm like, well, you actually go through the spot that you probably would like to see your swing. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if I just pause you at this point in your backswing, you're in a great spot. You haven't opened too much. Your arm isn't too far across the chest. You know, the club's not too far across the line. All the things that you want, you're just going too far back, right? And just into what you were talking about, where tour swings are simpler, right? There's less moving parts. Like amateurs are just often, you know, doing too much, right? Now, why are they doing too much? Maybe because they're trying to hit it too far, and because they don't have the proper sequencing, and they don't have the, you know, the pressures in the ground properly, which is hard, because if you don't have it somewhere, then you're going to try and find it somewhere else. You know what I mean? And that's maybe, you know, when you're like looking at yourself swinging and you're just trying to like match a model, it's like, well, maybe we need to get, you know, your pressures earlier in the ground, which is, again, is hard. If you don't have, you know, force bites, or you don't have a coach that can show you what those looks like, it can be a hard spot where you're just looking at the video. And then because you know, you're hanging back on your trail foot, you like have to swing longer to try and generate some club head speed. But in the end of the day, basically, yeah, like most amateurs can make at least similar moves. They make it more difficult for themselves.
Yeah. And I oftentimes will, you know, throw up a video of like Max Homa, and he's a perfect example of a simple move that I think most people can make. And I don't think, and what I'll say is, and obviously all these guys have different versions of their swing throughout their career, but I have a video of Max, and I'll tell people, I think the move he's making is one of the most simple moves that you can make and make a golf swing at the golf ball. And I think most people, you know, positionally can do what Max is doing. You know, unfortunately, it's one of those things where, you know, most people are looking at a lot of those outliers and trying to emulate, you know, a Bryson move, you know, a Rory recentering move, you know, again, this, you know, big long pause at the top so they can fire their hips. And I think you both just nailed it. Most people then just do way too much to be able to actually do the move they're trying to make, and they overcomplicate that simple move. It's tough to get them to understand they can do less and be more efficient.
The Cobalt QZ6 rangefinder changes the game with an innovative optical zoom that adjusts from 6x to 12x magnification. The zoom means you can clearly identify targets, check out the lie of your next shot, look for your golf ball from the tee, and more like never before. Combined with Cobalt's proven slope compensation and their proprietary PinSense and Surge technologies, you're getting laser-accurate readings from 5 to 2,500 yards, shot after shot. Cobalt rangefinders deliver advanced optics, intuitive technology, and rugged construction you can trust. Plus, every rangefinder is backed by a lifetime warranty and sold direct, so you get uncompromising quality without the retail markup. Learn more at cobalt-golf.com.
They can do less and be more efficient.
Yeah, and let's be clear. Even when Max Homa is struggling, if you were to somehow copy part of his swing or his whole swing as a general idea, even then, it's probably still going to be better than what you were doing.
Yes.
His version of struggling is still shooting 70 on a PGA Tour course. It's just
that's right.
He needed to shoot 68 that week to make the cut or something. So,
that's right.
So don't be like, oh, I don't want to use his swing. He's struggling right now. He's still going to kick your butt. Okay. So let's be clear about that too. Also, I think it's important to note that what the tour player says they are doing in their swing.
Yeah. 100%.
Is not necessarily what they are doing in their swing. It is not. You can see all you want about like, oh, it feels like he says this, he does this. He might not do that. She might not do that. That might be what they feel like they're doing. Feeling it real, even for tour players.
That's right.
Okay, so
they're no different than us.
Go by what they say. Almost never. Go by what they do.
Please.
Yeah.
Say it again, Eric. Say it again for the listeners.
Yeah. I have a video I posted that is like Tiger, and he was trying to teach someone short game, and he's like, yeah, you want to be really shallow into the shot, and here's how you want to do it. And then the motions he makes are all steepeners.
Yeah.
Like he just said you need to be super shallow, and then he did some like super steep. So yeah, I mean, tour players are they're a different animal, right? For sure. They're just really good at what they do. They hit a little white orb into a little hole. But for most golfers,
they're really good at what they do, but they are also human beings with two arms, two legs, a head, a torso, and all the same stuff. Mm. So we are all basically built the same. I've said before on the podcast that we can't do the body type thing. You know, you can't say like, oh, I'm built like John Rahm, so I need to swing like him. John Rahm has been swinging like that since he was six. Okay, so you probably do not have the body of a six-year-old boy, I'm going to guess. So unless you go back in time to when you were also six and then learn to swing like John Rahm, the whole body type thing, I don't really get it. Like, it makes sense at some point. Like, if you have a big gut, there's some things maybe you can't do, right? If you have longer arms, that might change stuff a little bit, right? You might have a slightly different swing plane or something like that that better suits you, whatever. Okay. But in general, we all still fit within roughly some fairly small windows or ranges, because at the end of the day, assuming, you know, we haven't lost a limb or something like that, we all have two arms, two legs, a torso, a head, etc. We all play roughly the same game and we all swing within roughly the same windows. So the body type thing, you can draw some inspiration from that maybe. Keegan Bradley has been swinging the way Keegan Bradley has swung forever, probably, for a long time. It doesn't mean you need to swing like that because you think you're shaped like Keegan Bradley. Because I could find five other guys that are shaped like Keegan Bradley on the PGA Tour who don't swing like Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
You can also look at one body type and find multiple versions of swings with that same body type, because a lot of guys on the PGA Tour have pretty similar body types.
Yeah, there's not too many weird looking humans on the PGA Tour,
except for us three. But,
I mean, I will. Yeah, exactly. I wish
that's why we don't have video.
You can't see video, but yeah, Jason is wearing all purple. He is the giant grape
blue
today.
So. It's a hue. It's a blue hue.
It does not look blue, but anyway.
What was I going to say?
We've distracted Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, I got distracted. But like a perfect example is your swing might be really good, but one element might be out of sort. And it's much easier to just change that one element for the people that aren't, you know, going to completely grind and go to the Tiger Woods, like, you know, complete swing overhaul. Just like find the one easiest element that, you know, you do this move already, instead of tearing down your whole swing, let's just add in X, right? And so I rarely take a tour player and go like, here's the tour player, you should swing more like this guy. But I will sometimes go like, okay, you know, if you want to hit a draw, well, let's get the club just a little bit more across the line for you, because as you reroute it with how your hands work in your swing right now, if the club was just a little bit across the line, when you work your hand back down, the club will work back behind it. And that'll be an easy way to hit a draw for you. It's just a tiny little element in there rather than tearing down your whole swing.
Yes, I use tour players as examples of things, and we all probably do that. I have a video that I use all the time of Dustin Johnson where he actually, his pelvis shifts away from the golf ball during the backswing. Reverse thrust. I will say to people, you need to feel like this looks. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want you to actually reverse thrust 3 inches any more than I want you to forward thrust 3 inches during your backswing. What this looks like, you might need to feel like you're doing that just to get zero or only 1 inch of thrust. I have a video of Colin Morikawa. I don't show them the spot at the top, but coming down into impact because he has a super weak grip, I show them a lot of left wrist palm reflection, even through the hit and into the early follow through. And I will say, you need to feel like this much. I don't want it to be that much because your grip isn't nearly as weak as his, but you need to get to the spot where it feels like you're generating this much. And if you do, the ball will go left and then hook, which is fine for now. You need to adapt this one piece of this person's swing to make it your swing a little bit better. Tiger Woods took, you know, famously about a year to make swing changes. The swing changes were not big. Granted, he had to do them at a higher level than any of us would ever have to do it, or most of our students would ever have to do it. He had to do it at a higher level than they would, so it took extra time. If it took him a year to make some relatively small changes, you should not just wholesale chuck your swing and say, I'm going to swing like Adam Scott now, because you're probably miles from Adam Scott right now.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You don't need to swing like Adam Scott to be a plus two, right?
Yeah,
to go from a two to a plus two. You don't need to swing like Adam Scott.
Yeah. And I think our goal as coaches is always to help identify, you know, the root cause for the player standing in front of us. And if we can, you know, make a modification to the root cause of their, you know, the first domino that falls over in their swing that then creates other compensations in their swing, then we're going to help that player be better. If it helps us help them to get to that root cause by showing them an example of a tour player and then allowing them to maybe exaggerate, then we obviously will do that. That doesn't mean we're trying to get that person to swing like the tour player. We're using that as a model or as a baseline to help the player maybe understand it a little bit deeper. You know, I think people are probably pretty good in today's world. You know, I think people come into lessons better than they ever have, being able to identify issues, but they don't understand the root cause behind the issue. So they then just spin their wheels, trying every little tip to change what they see. But when you, if you don't change the root cause, you're never actually going to make that, that piece better.
And the root cause has other terms. We could call it the root cause. You could call it the cancer. Cut that out first.
Yeah.
I think Butch Harmon might call it that. I call it the priority piece.
Yep.
Right? The highest priority thing that will often knock off some other things further down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jason, what do you call it?
Yeah, root cause for me, for sure.
You know, I think if somebody really wants to take a look at tour swings and sort of model themselves, take a look at their setups and look how meticulous these guys are before they ever move the golf club. Look at their posture and their ball position, their distance away from the ball, right? You guys know this. You see tour players on the range this week at the PGA. When we're recording this podcast, they all have sticks on the ground for their alignment, their ball position. They are so meticulous with everything they do before they ever move. And I think every player can benefit by improving your setup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Extraordinary players take care of the ordinary things extraordinarily well, or great players take care of the ordinary things extraordinarily well.
You just can't and shouldn't take it for granted. There are a lot of times when the cancer or the root cause is the player's setup, which then forces them to move the way that they're moving in their swing, which doesn't produce the type of ball flight that that player is desiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I align you 10 degrees to the right and you make a good golf swing, you will hit a bad golf shot.
That's right.
Right. Because you need to do something else to hit the ball toward the target if you're aimed 10 degrees to the right.
Absolutely.
Ball position, everything could be off, and you could make a great golf swing and top the ball if the ball's too far back.
Yep. Yep. You know, you see tour players who aim a little left or aim a little right or have the ball a little further back than the normal guy or a little bit more forward, but that's for them. And they do it the same way every single time. It's something they work on constantly, but you don't see these just ridiculously bad setups on the PGA Tour. You just don't see it. And that's something that every player could. You got a favorite player, you got John Rahm, you like Dustin Johnson, whoever. Take a look at those small little details.
Good. Good way to end it.
Awesome. Jason, where can people find us?
You can find us online at thespinaccess.com, and you can find us on all social medias at thespinaccess.
We're there every time consistently.
That's right.